Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. It's never an easy call with so many problems in the world to know where to direct the money that you donate when you want to help out in this world. But what I can tell you is that when you donate to CAMH, you're saving lives. We know about the opioid crisis. We know about the mental health crisis. They are doing the work. Help change mental health care forever. Your support will help CAMH build a future where no one is left behind. Donate at CAMH.ca/CanadaLand to help us treat addiction and build hope. Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Jonathan, why are we here?
Why are any of us here? We're here because we live in Ontario, and apparently Doug Ford is our premier.
Our illustrious premier.
Our premier.
So we've been sitting on the idea for this show for a little while. Why are we here now?
Well, the idea with this show was a break glass in case of emergency kind of thing. We'll sort of get the basic template down, the basic superficial trappings of a podcast. And then when things go batshit crazy at Queen's Park or coming out of Queen's Park, for whatever possible reason, we would break glass
really
in case of emergency.
It really could have been anything.
It really could have been. It really, really could have been anything. At 9:13 p.m. on last Thursday evening, I texted Jesse, time to break out Wag the Dog. Now we're here.
Can everyone hear me here?
Oh, we're televised right now.
Oh, the media again. Okay. Unbelievable. Always throwing a wrench into things, the media. Actually, I see my good lefty friend over there, Jonathan Goldsby. You followed me up here? He chased us around for 4 years down at City Hall. But he's a good guy. We actually had him to our place. He is a good guy.
So I'm Jonathan Goldsby, and although I would not take Doug Ford's word for it, I would like to think I'm a nice guy. I am the news editor at Canada Land, and before that, I covered Rob and Doug Ford at Toronto City Hall for many years. During that time, they occupied a disproportionate amount of my life and exhausted a disproportionate amount of mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual energy. I had hoped and thought that part of my life was done, or at least for a little while longer. Unfortunately, now it is not.
I'm Allison Smith. I am a reporter and digital publisher of Queen's Park Today. Up until March of this year, I'd never been in the same room as a Ford, but the Liberal government is gone, and I'm following every move Doug Ford makes. From Canadaland, this is Wag the Doug, a pop-up podcast about Doug Ford.
Well, what is a pop-up podcast? Well, it's a term that probably Jesse came up with. We are not sure when the next episode will come out or if there will be another episode. We've made no commitments to advertisers. And all we really know is we are stuck with Doug Ford as premier for at least 4 years. And
it's only been 4 weeks.
It's only been 4 weeks. And it's going to be a long 4 years. And there will be many things to talk about and many things worth talking about. And there already are. And so we hope you may want to listen to try to figure out a way to process and find our way through a new era on Ontario where it is never clear in whose interest the government is working or to what end. Yay! The best analogy that I could have been able to think of is the Looney Tunes cartoon, Duck Amuck. Duck Amuck is the one where Daffy Duck suddenly finds himself facing off against the animator of the cartoon that he is in, who constantly erases and redraws things, redraws parts of his body, that changes the scenarios, that bends space and time on arbitrary whims.
Buster, it may come as a complete surprise to you to find that this is an animated cartoon. And that in animated cartoons, they have scenery. And in all the years I... All right, wise guy, where am I?
And at the end of the cartoon, it turns out it's actually Bugs Bunny who's been, you know, manipulating him, redefining his reality. A few years later, there was Rabbit Rampage, which was the same thing, but Bugs Bunny is being fucked with by Elmer Fudd. And so Doug Ford, in this sense, is pretty much Elmer Fudd with a paintbrush.
Okay, so we have this show, Wag the Doug, right? Like, that's that's what we're calling the pop-up podcast. So, you know, the premise of that metaphor, other than being a lovely 90s film about politics, is that there's a tail wagging the dog. Someone else is controlling the mission here. Lots of people have said, even Doug Ford said the other day, I talked about this in city council 100 times. I gave 100 speeches on reducing the size of government. Of course, the crazy part is that it happened, you know, hours before the deadline for an election that's in just a couple months. Is this just all Doug? Is he trying to appease anyone with this? Or is this just like the whole Ford ethos boiled down in, you know, kind of chaos and small government and like a big fuck you to city council?
I mean, the simplest explanation for why Doug Ford is doing this and doing this now is because he can. All the power that he wished he could have had in the 4 years on city council, all the power that he wished he had in the 4 years since then, when he's just been mostly going around in the media and just saying what he would like and pressuring politicians by merely threatening to run, all the things he wished he could accomplish just by snapping his fingers, he can pretty much now do. And so whether he's appeasing anyone in particular, I mean, probably there are certainly fans of his, no shortage of people who are legitimately pleased with this news and even pleased with the process. There's no question about that. I mean, in more particular, I mean, the idea of cutting down Toronto City Council in half had been the cover story, the front page story of the Toronto Sun just, you know, a few days before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sue Ann Levy's column, at least the web headline, you know, was Doug Ford needs to cut Toronto Council in half and now. You know, on Twitter, I called this policy by Levy, though that may simplify what's probably a chicken and egg sort of relationship. It's hard to say who is necessarily guiding who with regard to Doug Ford and the Toronto Sun. But it does seem to be more or less the Fox and Friends in this situation guiding the policy, or surely shaping the discourse, which, you know, is an impressive achievement for a print outlet.
But the Star had a story like a day before, too, about the strong mayor powers. And in there, it sort of leaked out that Premier Ford and Mayor John Tory had been meeting about mayoral powers and said that they had talked about changing to make Toronto's mayor's powers stronger in passing during a meeting. So it was almost like that leaked out somehow somewhere too. And I doubt it was through Tory. So I think the seed was being kind of planted in a couple different places to get that conversation going. And I don't know, everyone seems to be sidelined by it, but...
Yeah, well, the Sun's front page story last Friday, which should have been mostly about the cutting council in half, it had been clear that they'd also been seeded incorrect information, probably not deliberately, but Levy in her column on Friday wrote that the new bill was supposed to cut city council in half and give the mayor more powers. The bill emphatically would not, as was immediately clear when it was announced that Friday morning. It was just about cutting council in half. Any talk of increasing the mayor's powers would come later. And now that John Tory's re-election is no longer guaranteed, I do not expect there to be a bill increasing mayoral powers, at least as long as his mayoralty hangs in the balance.
Until Michael Ford runs for mayor.
Well, in,
one
I mean,
fine day.
Yeah, I mean, for now, the nominations have been closed for candidates for mayor and aren't expected to be reopened. But, you know, Doug Ford could do whatever. He could install Michael Ford as mayor. I mean, that could be challenged in court. Whether that would be overturned, I don't know. There's very little, like, if he wanted to dissolve city council, if he wanted to dissolve the city of Toronto, it's within his authority to do that. If he wants to appoint a supervisor in charge of the whole city, if he wants to make Giorgio Mammoliti the Lord Mayor of Toronto,
he could. Talking.
Probably, like, there's actually a much stronger legal case in favor of empowering him, having the power to do that, than against it.
Well, I think we're missing the good news story here, though. Mm-hmm. Like, my favorite part of this news story is not only is Ford's bill, Bill 5, messing with Toronto City Council, it's also erasing all of those other, or erasing the elections for all of these regional chairs, which has an effect politically because we had former Transportation Minister Steve Del Duca running for the York chair, who... Like, for sure, Ford does not like Steve Del Duca. But also, Patrick Brown, friend of me. I mean, not really. I'm just, like, a fan. I love following his news. But he was running for the Peel chair. And now that position has been erased, or he's not eligible for it anymore. But what does he do but announce the same day that now he's running for the mayor of Brampton? Which is just, I don't know, that's just great. Like, he just got up in the morning, he read the news, and he's like, okay, what else can I do today? Like, drove to Brampton, rented a car, rented a basement apartment, and filed his paperwork. I mean, that's gumption.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's funny that Patrick Brown is, like, somehow... is Ford's enemy now? But, like, all really Patrick Brown did was, like, he saved a seat for Ford for, like, years. He got in enough trouble to have to get kicked out so Ford could run for leadership and win this race. He should be, you know, not throwing bananas in front of the guy. He should be banana peels. But I guess, I mean, who knows what happened behind the scenes? Because there was, like, sort of mumblings before that even while Patrick Brown was running for the Peel regional chair, that there were people in the premier's office that were, like, trying to run someone against him so that he didn't win. So I guess they hate each other. So one of the things that I thought was pretty notable when Doug Ford made this, like, actual announcement about the bill and the changes to council on Friday morning was that he was using the word we as he was talking about city council and, like, we're going to make this the best city and we're going to get the city moving and, like, we're going to be efficient now. And it's like he was really acting like he's the mayor.
The thing with Toronto City Council is that, like other city councils in Ontario, you know, it's not a party system. The mayor officially has one vote. They have a lot of influence and a great deal of sway. But ultimately, it does come down to their ability to convince, pressure, or bully members of council into taking their side on an issue to get a majority of votes to get something through. Like that actually takes work, and it takes people skills, and it takes time. Doug Ford, like no shortage of politicians over the history of time, much prefers the method of system of government where a person decides something and then it happens. Basically, he has more than the powers of a mayor. He has the powers he wishes a mayor would have. He has the powers he wishes he had had and he and his brother had had while at City Hall, which is to say he can snap his fingers and redefine reality for the city without the need to convince anyone of anything because he has a majority government and no one is absolutely no one's expecting his caucus to rebel.
Well, and because he has consulted thousands of Ontarians, Jonathan, don't forget, that's has been his, you know, his tagline to, in most cases up until now, explain, you know, his decisions behind policies like ending the cap and trade program, changing the sex ed curriculum, which are things he campaigned on. But of course, he didn't campaign on this. Mm-hmm. But he's still kind of, you know, just using the same sort of lines. But Andrea Horvath called him yesterday a dictator a couple times. Is she pulling that card like too soon, do you think? Is that?
No, I mean, I think that's I think that's.
Notably, she did not say it again today. So maybe she.
I think it's a reasonable enough description of the powers of a leader of a majority government. I mean, it's not just particular to Doug Ford.
But was Kathleen Wynne a dictator?
I mean, you could argue in some respects, but I mean, like, it depends on how you wield your power, how you actually execute that. That's what it is. If you're taking sweeping, arbitrary action, unjustified and on an unnecessarily urgent timeline, I mean, you could argue, well, it's a legitimate power, but it's an abuse of that legitimate power.
And I guess when powerful governments start changing the way democratic institutions work, which is what they're doing with city council, like that's why all the red flags are being raised,
yes.
Right? It's consolidating power in, I mean, not necessarily more so in the premier's office, but it's using those powers to change the way government works, and that is what's scaring everybody.
It's canceling, in the case of Toronto, it's canceling 47 elections that have been underway since early May.
It's reducing the amount of representation
Absolutely.
All Torontonians will have by their city councillor.
And in the case of the regional governments, it's canceling several more elections that were underway for no real particular justified reason other than apparent vindictiveness against individuals. I mean, that in particular is what Calgary Mayor Naheed Nenshi referred to as the tin pot dictator stuff, which is canceling an election because you don't like the person who's running. That is pretty much the definition of an abuse of power.
He's coming for the things that make Toronto livable. And he wants us distracted. He wants us back on our heels. He wants us fighting with each other. Your call is not to figure out whether or not you can find a nice agreement with Doug Ford to make this a little less painful for us. Your duty is to get on the streets, fight back and stop this assault on the city of Toronto.
So in the case of Toronto City Council, they've directed their legal staff to examine the text of the bill and report back at a special meeting of council on August 20th about what legal options, if any, they'll have. So we'll see. And they may launch a court challenge. Certainly, at least someone else, at least one other person is going to launch a court challenge. And
but that can't happen before the election, right? That's going to have to be. I mean, they could launch it, but as far as I can tell, and I think a couple of the councillors said this yesterday during the meeting, like, this is going to be what the October election is. We can't, can they disrupt it before then? They disrupt it.
I mean, that's what city staff will have to weigh in terms of, what are the practical implications. The biggest argument for having a challenge is to try to actually carve out some rights from municipalities, to actually say that no, the limits of provincial intervention, the limits of this whole creature of the province framework is you can't fuck with our democracy in an exceedingly arbitrary way. The province can totally fuck with municipalities' democracy. That's true across the country. That's, by definition, that's in the Constitution. But the question is, by how much? Is there a point at which the arbitrariness becomes so offensive and excessive that a court would intervene?
I want to go back to something you said, and it was about how the PC caucus does not look like it's going to rebel. And I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think when the story broke again, this Toronto City Council story broke, it was kind of like whoever was telling the media about it was sort of saying like, all the cabinet ministers, like not all of them think this is a good idea. People tried to talk him down from this. And, you know, here we go anyways. And of course, everyone's fallen in line, which is unsurprising. I mean, Ford just got them all great jobs. But one thing it's done, it has like totally stirred up question period. And, you know, ever since Queen's Park came back 3 weeks ago, it's definitely been a lot more hostile. Like, I really want to ask Andrea Horvath, like, do you miss Kathleen Wynne yet? Because it is like dark and dirty in there and disruptive. Like, we have like the MPPs are just fighting. Question period is so loud. I mean, we can kind of maybe say this about that it's the new speaker isn't really reining everyone in.
The leader of the opposition and the premier will come to order. The leader of the opposition and the premier will come to order. The leader of the opposition and the premier will come to order.
But the PC caucus is like getting up and applauding itself, sometimes two times during one answer. And these answers are 30 seconds long. So there's just all of these standing ovations, the heckling, the shouting, and it's just like furious and crazy. And I know that this decision obviously isn't helping that. But I mean, it can only be said that this is the direction this place is going. And I guess, you know, question period under the Liberals, for sure, people got mad at each other. Andrea Horvath and Kathleen Wynne like didn't like each other, but I think they didn't like each other more in like a nemesis sort of way. Like, they played off of each other and they kind of just laughed at Patrick Brown most of the time. But you saw, I guess, City Hall transform into, you know, a rabble-rousing institution under Ford. Do you think that, like, that's what we're stuck with at Queen's Park? Like, how rough is it going to get?
My favorite tweet from last week was from Matt Elliott, the columnist formerly of Metro. On Friday, he observed, you know, the amazing thing is that yesterday's council meeting started very pleasantly. Nice goodbye speeches, reasonable-ish debate. Now, on Friday, solely because of Doug Ford, the chamber is packed, people are yelling, protests are raging, the mayor is saying the word balls. And it is, I mean, chaos is almost too easy a word for it, but the very not even the presence of the Fords. It's not even the presence. It's the very idea of the Fords, the very idea of this aura of anger and vindictiveness expanding and challenging and coming up against all the things around it. That changes people. That transforms people. That absolutely transforms the discourse and absolutely ratchets it up. And if that's what City Council was like, where quite literally Mayor John Tory, who's known for not losing his shit, was screaming at Mike Layton, get up if you have the balls to do it and say it.
Get up if you have the balls to do it and say it.
Yeah, it does not at all surprise me that question period at Queen's Park and the immediate environment and the immediate aura of Doug Ford would absolutely devolve into the sort of caricature that people already imagined it might be.
Isn't it true about, you know, angry governments, for lack of a better term, that even the people running an administration like that, and I mean, we can look to Trump in the United States, not because I want to make that direct example, but like nobody is really having a good time. Like even the ones in power, people in power are having off, like it's not fun
good
for them. Right. Fair.
I mean,
but I think that's the direction, you know, I mean, it's bad to be on the opposition and it's bad to be fighting against that sort of power. But even if you're in it, it's not a blast.
No, I mean, frankly, I don't think destroying things should be a blast. And I would be very concerned if it were. I hope it's emotionally exhausting. And I hope that the work of smashing systems destroys them from the inside. Yeah, no, I don't think there's
anything.
I guess
that's how you come up with a supervillain, right? So that was Wag the Dog.
Alternate titles we considered included, but were not limited to, Reservoir Doug, Doug Day Afternoon, Hair of the Doug, and Snoop Dougie Doug.
I'm Allison Smith, and you can reach me on Twitter at Queen's Park Today.
I'm Jonathan Goldsby, and you can get me at Goldsby.
This episode was produced by Kevin Sexton. The theme music, which obviously everyone loves, is by Nathan Burley.
The idea with this is that it's a pop-up podcast to return, you know, as needed.
If you want more of this show, you're going to have to let us know. Download it, leave ratings, tell your friends, tweet at Jesse. And if it seems like we're onto something, we'll keep it going.
Hey, I need you to pay close attention to this message. It is not an ad. This is about Canada Land, and this is about you. You need to know that the news crisis is about to get a lot worse. You've heard about the layoffs. We're about to have news closures, and it's very likely that we're going to be seeing the defunding of the CBC. Where are you going to get your information from? What can you do about this? You can support Canada Land. We need you to. And so for this month and this month only, you can become a Canada Land supporter and get everything our supporters get for just $2 a month. That is an almost 80% discount. The clock is ticking on this. It disappears at the end of the month, and then we will not offer it. We need your support. We need to keep news coverage alive in Canada. Go right now to canadaland.com/join. And thank you.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.